Hello again, and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting. And again, it's an international-flavoured Verulam Sport. I love it when we go global. It's been a challenging year for us all, hasn't it? It's posed some serious challenges for all sports, not least the rugby league world. But to tell us all about the elite-level rugby league and to remind us about the awesome St. Albans Centurions, we're joined on the line by friend of the show. We call him the daddy. It's Simba. How are you, Simba? You doing A-OK?
I'm doing really well, mate. Really, really well. How are you doing?
Hey, I've got no grumbles. I'm mindful, as I say. It's a bit of a weird time, isn't it? But I count my little blessings, so no complaints. Anyway, look, I really appreciate your time. Because, as I say, we've gone international because you're out in Zimbabwe. How's things that neck of the woods?
Nah, all good, mate. No complaints. I think we're handling everything quite well in terms of a country with the COVID cases and things like that. So, thank God we haven't reached the sort of levels that other countries have. Because our infrastructures are not as strong as what they are perhaps in the West. So, thank our lucky stars for that. But look, hey, family, all good. Society seems to be trying to get back to normal, so from our end, no issues. It's looking positive, I think.
Do you know, Simba, you always put a smile on my face with your positive approach, so I do appreciate it. And it's always great to chat rugby league with you. Massive occasion at the weekend. Rugby league in a global context is borderline god down under in Australia, and the Melbourne Storm claimed another, I think their fourth National Rugby League, a grand final triumph, 26-20 win over Penrith Panthers. Just before we analyse the game, Simba, we were talking obviously about the global context. The ANZ Stadium, huge 80,000er, but it was awesome, wasn't it, to see it half full, about 37,000 fans in attendance. So it does indicate, again, we're far from out of the woods, but it was awesome to see fans in attendance for this landmark occasion, wasn't it?
No, listen, it was absolutely fantastic. I think, what they managed to get into that, onto that ANZ stadium is a great advert, I think, for everyone, and puts a smile on everyone's faces. And, it's like anything else, a big occasion, like you said, and you want to see fans cheering and, having a good time. And, those that were lucky enough to get, seats or tickets to the game, it was absolutely fantastic. Great game to be at, and good on them.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, my goodness me, the Melbourne Storm are something of a dynasty. That's, I think, their fourth title in 11 years now. 22-0 up at half time. They were cruising, but Penrith, they certainly fought right to the end, didn't they? Only finished 26-20. So, from that big half time lead, Penrith really just refused to lie down, didn't they?
No, they didn't. I mean, they were in the minor premiers, as they call it, or what we call the League Leaders' Shield, for nothing. Best team by a country mile. But I think, with the Melbourne Storm, the way they played in the semi-final, actually, I think it was against Canberra, is when I actually sat up and took notice, because they completely took them apart and they did the exact same thing, came out of the blocks really, really fast. But listen, credit to Penrith Panthers. I actually had my money on the Panthers to go all the way. But unfortunately, Melbourne with a bit of, know-how and a dynasty that you mentioned as well, all these kind of things help, when it comes to big occasions. And I think they just managed to handle that a little bit better than what Penrith did.
Do you know what? I think you've nailed it. A standout try, 60-metre special through Suilasi Vunivalu. Great effort. But really, again, rugby league, it is a team sport, maybe one of the greatest team sports on planet Earth. It's not nice or fair, really, to single out individuals. But I've got to tell you, when you were talking about that expertise, that experience in this dynasty run, it's embodied, really, by their skipper, isn't it? Cameron Smith, in his 430th NRL game at the weekend, he claimed a haul of 14 points. But it wasn't just his points, was it? It was that stewardship, that kind of pulling the strings quality that I think maybe was the difference between these two really strong, evenly matched outfits.
Oh, absolutely. You need a midfield general who's going to control the game for you in those tight moments. And for a guy that's played 430-odd games, not only does he have the experience, but he he exudes a calmness that in those really difficult moments that everybody else follows him. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. And that's, to me, if the Panthers had Cameron Smith, the result would have turned the other way.
Absolutely. You can't, by experience, it's a truism, isn't it? And obviously, you know, then it's applied. And like you say, it's that presence that feeds into the rest of the team, which is so, so critical. Whipping us back, though, to the UK, just going back a little bit in time, to the 17th of October, landmark occasion, it was the Challenge Cup. Sadly, on that time, by contrast, nobody in attendance, and it's still surreal for me to see a Wembley absolutely pretty much empty. Great occasion, though, nevertheless. Leeds versus Salford Reds. Reds, of course, had a wonderful season the season before. And again, this was as tight as you like. Great advert for the game of rugby league. Leeds won it narrowly by 17 points to 16, but another great advert for rugby league, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, we're a little bit behind where, you know, Australia are in terms of their you know, their COVID situation. So totally understand the reason why, you know, we wouldn't have had, you know, fans in the at Wembley. But, you know, the as an advert for the game, you know, you didn't lose anything. You know, the players didn't let anybody down. You know, it was an absolutely fantastic game of rugby league, and as you said, you know, a close run thing. But you know, that Leeds team that, you know, we spoke about earlier on in the year. I think a few months ago, and I said, you know, be careful. If they pick up a trophy here and there, we may have, you know, something of another dynasty. So maybe that's just the start of it.
It'd be nice to see, though, obviously, again, as you've experienced yourself, Simba, there is something powerful, isn't there, about claiming some silverware. It gives something that's tangible, isn't it? And it builds on momentum. So it'll be fascinating to see how Leeds build on that. We were talking about great solo efforts in the Down Under affair, but I think there was a try for the ages in a losing effort for Salford with Williams. Getting one back, 90-meter effort. My goodness me! You know, seriously, YouTube this up. You get that in your life, because you know you don't get that every day, do you, Simba? My goodness.
Nah, absolutely not. And you know, I don't know if people understand what it takes for the stamina. Having, you know, made tackles, you know, made recovery runs, and then to put in a 90-meter effort after all that work that you've done. That to me is what puts it into context, to be honest with you. Everything else is sort of by the by. You know, there's a lot that goes on in a rugby game, and for somebody to put in a 90-meter effort after all that work that you do during the game anyway, as part of your job, I think is absolutely phenomenal and testament to the fitness levels that these rugby league players have.
Absolutely. It was, again, a wonderful advert for you. The wonderful sport of rugby league. One thing that I would like to say, though, we spoke last season about the amazing efforts of Salford Red Devils. It kind of shocked the world, didn't they, by making the grand final of the Super League itself. Again, we knew, didn't we, that many of their key players would be kind of pilfered by others. And Wigan have got one of their old stars, etc., etc. But again, they've just seemed to me to have a real indomitable spirit. And again, they didn't get the victory in their first Challenge Cup final since 1969. But my goodness me, the effort, the endeavour, and the kind of spirit and the playing for the coach, I think, really came through. This is a Salford team that I think are really not just a blip. They're there for the long haul.
You know what? You took the words right out of my mouth, to be perfectly honest with you, mate. I think you're witnessing something that is going to grow into something really, really special. And I really hope it does to the levels that it deserves. Because after what they did last season, it would have been very easy and understandable for them to languish in mid-table. But they've just gone again and again and again. And I think it's testament to their coach, who can pull out the best in his players. And they buy into him. And once you buy into, you know, into a culture and a way of doing things, it makes life a lot easier for everybody else that's involved, because anybody that comes into that particular environment knows what the culture is, knows what the requirement is, and they all fit in. And don't forget, they throw the ball around as much as anybody else in that league. And that's what makes them even more exciting to watch.
Seriously, watch out for the Salford Red Devils. I really think they've got a good thing going. Want to talk about Rob Burrows, and obviously couldn't be in attendance, but was very much honoured in absentia. But just briefly on the Leeds side, again, we've touched upon this young developing outfit getting their first bit of silverware. But a man who's been around the block a few times, Briscoe, it was a kind of icing on the top of a great cake for him, because his try in the game actually set a new Challenge Cup final record. It was his seventh try in Challenge Cup affairs, meaning that he's actually overtaken a Wigan legend in Kevin Iroh. They were level, locked together on six. So a great occasion for Briscoe. And again, a really good pro and a testament to his longevity in the challenging game of rugby league.
No, absolutely. I think he's one of the unsung heroes, I suppose, in my eyes. Doesn't hog the limelight a lot, doesn't get a lot of the limelight anyway, but just goes about his job very quietly, methodically, knows what he's good at, knows what his limitations are. You know, all he does is make sure that is, you know, what he's good at, he excels at, and he mitigates the limitations. And for me, it's absolutely fantastic. Wonderful player, the kind of player that you want to have, a 15-man squad, 17-man squad full of Tom Briscoes. I think fair play to him and testament. And the guy that he's taken over from, one of the legends of the game. So, well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin Iroh really is. And he held that record for a long, long time amongst some of the stars from those great, great Wigan sides from the 80s. Some real all-time legends in that order, as you know very well. Just wanted to quickly touch upon Rob Burrows. In a way, the romantic in me is really glad that Leeds won this title. As we've discussed, we appreciate the spirit of Salford, and it was overall, more critically, a fabulous game of rugby league. But obviously, the global context has made us realise just what sport is and where it stands. But other things do that. And obviously, Rob, one of the stalwarts of Leeds, won the Challenge Cup many times, played for England and what have you. Great, great player. Suffering from MS. I don't think suffering is the right word. He's dealing with MS as best as anybody can. And I know his family do an awful lot. And I know he's so, so well loved, not just in Leeds, but through the rugby league community and beyond. Just briefly, your thoughts on Rob Burrow and what he's come to stand for.
You know what? I think as a player, he was a fantastic player. But I think what he's done since we all found out that he had this debilitating disease has shown what a remarkable human being is. I think it would have been very easy for him to go into his shell, worry for himself, but he hasn't. He's taken it on, with the heart of a lion that he's always had, that he's shot on the pitch, and he's taken the fight to this disease. And I think in his mind, all he's going to do is do his damnedest to make sure that even though he's suffering, if anybody else has that disease, and they will, unfortunately, maybe he does something to highlight this disease, and also maybe one day, we'll have a cure for it. But look, everything that he's done on the pitch pales into insignificance because of what he's actually done in spite of this disease.
Absolutely.
So, wonderful, wonderful human being.
A true lion heart, a true warrior. And we wish him every continued best wishes in this challenging time. And I know he's got so much love extended his way from throughout the rugby league community and beyond. But rugby league does continue apace. So as always, very contested season in this weird, weird year, 2020. So we know, don't we, Simba? We always make predictions, you and I, and sometimes it makes a fool of us because it is that tight. So just a few games I want to drill in to get your thoughts on quickly. This weekend, the Hull Derby. Hull FC are doing really well in sixth and in playoff contention. Hull Kingston Rovers at the other end of the table. But you do not get more of a kind of acute derby than this, do you? I mean, it's a tale of one city and they are colliding. So your thoughts on this one with the Kingston Rovers down near the bottom of the league versus reasonably high-flying Hull FC, but they are the host, the Kingston Rovers. Your thoughts ahead of Friday's big clash?
You know what? Of all of the games that are all the derbies in Super League, I don't think there's a better derby than the Hull Derby. and all bets are off. It doesn't matter what the league position is. It is all bets are off. And to be honest with you, I would not be surprised, even though Hull KR are sitting at the bottom of the league, I would not be surprised if they pull off an upset and absolutely, possibly even beat Hull by maybe 6 points or more. That's what these derbies do.
They just throw it up, and Rugby League does this all the time. I don't think anybody would really be surprised should that come to pass. I'm going to play it safe, though, Simba. I'm going to play it safe on this one.
Oh,
I'm
come on.
The Hull FC, the home side, and the away side, really are still eking out, chasing down a playoff berth. They can't afford to lose this one. And I think that kind of needs must pressure will do them well. But it wouldn't surprise me to find out that I've once again got egg on the face in that one. The next one, again, another keenly contested derby. And this is as important as it gets. St. Helens defending champions, building a dynasty themselves, right at the summit of the Super League at the moment. Played 15, won 12 with only three defeats. Take on and host your Wigan, who are second. It's 1-2. And a win will see you leapfrog them onto the top. Are you just going to back against Wigan so you simply can't lose? Or are you going to show faith in your Wigan outfit in this exciting clash?
Hey, listen, I'm a true fan. but not only that, I think the performance that Wigan put in last week or the last time out gives me a bit more confidence than what I had before. Not because of the scoreline, but more to do with the actual standard of play that they delivered.
Yep.
So it means they're ready for that derby. And if you watch how Wigan perform every single time, a couple of weeks before they play St. Helens, there's always a lead up to it. You know, their performance get better and better and better. And I'm putting my money on Wigan, and I always will. And I hope we leapfrog St. Helens, and take the league leaders' shield again. We haven't held it for a while, so it'll be good to have it back in our hands.
Do you know what? I'm going to follow suit on this one, and I think you're dead right. I think you're trending up. The Saints, we've mentioned they are a dynasty, but they have been beaten three times this season. They are by no means unbeatable. Of course, nobody is in Super League. But I just think this is a Wigan outfit that, I wouldn't say play with chip on shoulder, but I think they felt that there was a really good chance last season for them to claim the whole 9 yards and obviously fell at the semi-final stage.
Absolutely.
I think with that mindset, with that kind of local rivalry, with that improved form you've explained, I'm also going to follow suit and I'm backing Wigan. But I tell you what, it's going to be a super advert once again for the game of rugby.
Oh, absolutely. I cannot wait. That'll be absolutely a fantastic game.
It's going to be a juicy one. And just in closing, Simba, we love always having a chat with your good self, because so much of what we spoke about in terms of momentum, in terms of building a culture, you're talking about not from the abstract, but from lived experience. Maybe people coming to this conversation for the first time, just a brief introduction. Simba's been involved with the Centurions Rugby League team here in St. Albans for many years. 9 years without trophies, a lot of that time in the doldrums, a lot of soul searching, and last year saw at least one cup and then ever so close in contention for a League Cup double right until the end of the season. So a tremendous culture that came through adversity. And now I know that people listening will be keen to learn more about the Centurions. As always, in closing, Simba, how can we get involved with your website and learn a little bit more?
Cheers, Tony. Always a pleasure. And thank you very much for the support, mate. Listen, St. Albans Centurions, local club, I have to make that very, very clear. We welcome everybody. We've got juniors all the way through to masters. So anybody that's willing to participate in a bit of sport, whether you want to do it, just for a bit of fun, a bit of fitness, or you want to get competitive, we're here for you. A bit of health and fitness. We're in the community club. St. Albans Centurions, www.stalbanscenturions.co.uk. Do check out the website. I know we're in a situation right at the moment with the coronavirus and everything else, but stay fit, stay healthy. We're still here. We built momentum last year, and we're looking to build on it again when we're able to come back and play. But it's not going to stop us. We're going to continue doing what we're doing to make sure that our club not only continues after this whole situation is over, but thrives even more. So we need more people coming in and joining us.
Simba, I absolutely love that, and I just know that it will. And here on Verum Sport, we're excited already to continue to map that future trajectory. Remind us, just in closing, once again, please, of the Centurions website so we can do just that. Get involved. Find out more.
Yes, Tony. www.stalbercenturions.co.uk.
Perfect. Well, from me here in cold old Blighty to you out there in Zimbabwe, Simba, it's absolutely been a pleasure. As always, I would like to take a moment from myself and the team at Verum Sports to wish you and family every continued joy and success in our challenging times. And of course, extend those wishes to the family that is the Centurions. Thank you very much again.
Thank you, Tony.